Shabbos Daf Mem Beis. The Mishnah says you could put cold water into a kettle or into a cup for it to warm up. The Gemara brings in a brisa. Beis Shammai says you could put hot water into cold water, but you cannot put cold water into hot water for it to be cooled off. Beis Hillel says though you could do both, putting hot water into cold water and putting cold water into hot water. However, the brisa notes this is only true regarding a cup, about putting hot or cold water into a cup. But in terms of a bathtub, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agrees that you can pour hot water into cold water for a bath, but you would not be allowed to pour cold water into hot water for regarding a bathtub. And Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says this is usur, and Rabbi Nachman says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. The Gemara will later explain exactly what Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is saying when he says that this is usur. Rabbi Yosef says that a wash basin, which is like a secondary vessel, is the same as a bathtub, meaning you fill up a wash basin from a larger source of water. So Rabbi Yosef says that a wash basin has the same rules as a bathtub. However, Abaye brings up a disproof that Rabbi Chiya says in a brisa that a wash basin is not like a bathtub. It doesn't have the same rules as a bathtub, so that directly contradicts Rabbi Yosef. And the Gemara also has a problem with Rabbi Yosef's statement that according to Rabbi Yosef, that a wash basin is the same as a bathtub. And according to Rav Nachman, who says that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Asya, who says that you can't pour hot water into a cold bathtub, then you would never be able to use hot water on Shabbos, because there's no way to cool off the hot water. And you need to cool off the hot water because you can't pour some cold water into the hot bathtub or into the hot wash basin, so you can never use the hot water. However, we know that you're allowed to wash off, you wash your face, hands, and feet with water that was heated before Shabbos. However, according to Rabbi Yosef, if you can't cool off the water in the wash basin, then there's no way you could ever use hot water. So the Gemara answers for Rabbi Yosef that Rabbi Shimon ben Asya wasn't saying that. He wasn't talking about the case of pouring hot water into a cold bathtub is usur. Rather, he was referring to Beis Hillel, who says that you could pour both hot water into cold water and also cold water into hot water. And Rabbi Shimon ben Asya is coming to say that it's usur to pour cold water into hot water in a cup, but Beis Hillel agrees that you could pour cold water into hot water in a bathtub, meaning that he's saying that Beis Hillel really agrees that you can't pour cold water into hot water in a cup, but he agrees that you can pour cold water into hot water into a bathtub. So now the Gemara asks, so is Rabbi Shimon ben Asya saying the same thing as Beis Shammai? So the Gemara answers, no, Rabbi Shimon ben Asya is just teaching that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai don't argue regarding a cup, because even Beis Hillel would agree that you can't pour cold water into hot water in a cup. I mean, he's not coming to argue with Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai and side with Beis Shammai. He's just saying that not the way that we originally learned the Braisa, that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue about a cup, whether you can pour hot or cold water. And he's coming to say Beis Hillel agrees that by a cup, you can't pour cold water into hot water. Rav Huna Barei de Rav Yoshua says that he saw Rava, that Rava had no problem pouring cold water into hot water, both with a cup and with a wash basin, because Rava would agree with the first explanation of Beis Hillel, that according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to pour cold water into hot water in a cup or a basin. And this is brought down by Rav Chiya and Abraisa, that you are allowed to put a flask of water into a wash basin, whether the wash basin is hot and the flask is cold, or vice versa, the flask is hot and the wash basin is cold. Either way, you can put the flask into the wash basin. So Rav Huna asks Rav Ashi, though, but maybe in that case, the Rav Chiya brought down is different, because the walls of the flask separate the water, because there it's enclosed in the flask. So maybe it's a little different. So Rav Ashi answers, no, because you read it as you can pour the flask of hot or cold water into the wash basin of hot or cold water. It's not that you could put the flask in, it's that you could pour the flask in. The next Mishnah says, a frying pan or a pot that was taken off the fire while it's still boiling and hot, you are not allowed to add spices to them directly, but you would be allowed to add spices to a hot food if it's been taken out of the frying pan or the pot and put into a bowl, a second vessel. You can't put it in the first vessel, which is the pot or the frying pan, but you can put it in the second vessel, which is a bowl. Rav Yehuda says you can add spices to anything unless it has vinegar or fish brine in it, because then the vinegar or fish brine will make it easier for the hot water to cook, and therefore you cannot add any spices to there because it's going to cook more easily. So the Gemara asks, what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? Is he saying that you can put spices into a pot that's taken right off of the fire, the first vessel, as long as it doesn't have vinegar or fish brine in it? And then he's teaching a leniency that you can always put things into a pot or frying pan that's been taken off of the fire. Or is he teaching a stringency that you can put spices into a bowl as long as there's no vinegar or fish brine? brine. So he's just adding a caveat to the leniency that the Mishnah teaches, which is really ends up being astringency. So we answer from a brisa that Rav Yehuda says you can add spices to any frying pan or pot which has been taken right off the fire, unless it has vinegar or fish brine. So we see here that Rav Yehuda is teaching a leniency to our Mishnah that he allows you to pour spices into a frying pan or a pot. Rav Yosef says that salt functions the same as spices, that it can become cooked in a first vessel, right? If you take the pot right off the fire, then the salt can become cooked, and you couldn't put it in, just like you can't with spices. But he agrees that salt, but he says salt is the same as spices too, that you would not be allowed, that you would be allowed to put salt into a second vessel if you put it into a bowl. Abaye questions this because Rabbi Yechia says in a brisa that salt is not the same as spices, because salt can even be cooked in the secondary vessel, and then you can't put it into a second vessel. If you poured the hot food into the bowl, you can't put salt in. Rav Nachman says differently than all of them. He says that salt can only be cooked if it's directly on the fire, meaning if you put it in a pot that's right on the fire. But once you take the pot off the fire, then it won't be able to cook, and you can even put salt into the first vessel as long as it's off the fire. The Ikadami, there's another way of teaching this entire thing that we just had there. If Yosef says salt is the same as spices, and it can be cooked in the first vessel, but not in the second vessel. Once you pour it into the bowl, it's fine, just like spices. And then Abaye teaches Rav Chiya in a brisa differently here, that he says, instead of before we said that salt is, he says here that salt is not like spices, but he teaches it differently, that salt is not like spices because it won't be cooked in the first vessel, which is different than before where he said it can even be cooked in the second vessel. He's teaching that salt is not like spices. In both cases, Rav Chiya is teaching that salt is not like spices, but here he's teaching that salt is different than spices because it won't be cooked in the first vessel, meaning even if you put it in the pot that's been taken off the fire, which is the same as Rav Nachman, who says that salt can only be cooked if it's directly on the fire, but once you take the pot off the fire, it cannot be cooked. The Mishnah says that you can't put a vessel under a lamp to catch dripping oil, but you can put it there before Shabbos. Meaning on Shabbos, you can't put a vessel under the lamp so it will catch the oil, but if you put it there before Shabbos, you can collect the oil. However, the only thing is, you're not allowed to benefit from that oil on Shabbos because it would be muksa since it wasn't designated for use before Shabbos, or it wasn't designated for Shabbos use, to be used on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, it brings up Rav Chista, who says that you are not allowed to put a vessel under a hen to catch an egg so that it doesn't roll down a hill, but you would be allowed to put a vessel on top of an egg to prevent it from getting squashed and to protect it. Rav explains why Rav Chista holds like this. He says that a hen would lay an egg in a trash heap where it can break, so therefore you could put a vessel on top of it to protect it, but a hen would not lay an egg on an incline on the top of a hill where it could roll down. So the Rabbanon only allowed you to take precautions to prevent a common loss in the case of an egg in a trash heap, so you could put something on top of it, but they don't allow you to take precautions to prevent an uncommon loss, which is one where a hen would lay an egg on a hill, and because that would never happen, the Chachamim don't allow you to place the basket under because that is muksa. The egg is considered muksa, so you can't catch it with a basket on Shabbos. Abaye questions this presumption from a brisa of whether when the chacham allow you to take that the chacham allow you to take precautions only to prevent a common loss but not an uncommon loss. So Abaye questions this from a brisa that says if you have a barrel of tevel wine, tevel is produce that you didn't take truma from it, that you didn't tithe, and tevel, since you cannot tithe it on Shabbos, it's considered muksa. So you have this barrel of tevel wine and it broke on Shabbos. The brisa teaches that you're allowed to put another vessel underneath it to catch all the wine that's coming out. However, the barrel breaking is not common, so how come you're allowed to put a vessel under to catch the muksa wine, right? Because that's not common. But here we see that they allow you to do it even though it's not common. So Rab would answer that it's because we're dealing with a new earthenware keg, which is very common for it to break. Abaye brings up another disproof from a Mishnah that says you could place a vessel under a lamp to catch sparks. Again, the sparks are muksa, and it's not common that the sparks will come out and lead to a fire. But Rab answers, no, it is common that the sparks will come out and will fly out and lead to a fire. That is really a common thing. Abaye brings up another Mishnah that you can put a bowl over a lamp so that it doesn't set a beam above on fire. This seemingly would not be a common thing that would happen. And also, you know, it's muksa of the lamp to put something on top of the lamp. That would be muksa. So how does that work? Because seemingly the Rabbanon are allowing you to prevent an uncommon loss. Rabbi answers, no, we're still dealing with a common thing because we're dealing with a house that has low ceilings. And since the ceilings are low, it's common that the flame of the lamp can set fire to the ceiling above. Abaye brings in another Mishnah that says that you could support a broken beam of a house with a bench or with a sideboard of a bed, even though the beam is muksa, which fell off on Shabbos. We're allowed to do this, and again, this is an uncommon thing to happen, that a beam will fall off. Rabbi says, no, we're dealing with a new untied beam, which breaks under a new roof, meaning you, when you put up a new roof, if the beam is not tied and it's a newer beam, it's very common for it to break. Abaye brings up another disproof, a final disproof, that the Mishnah says you could put a vessel under leaking rainwater. The rainwater is uncommon for that to happen. The rainwater is muksa, and it's uncommon for there to be a leak. However, Rabbi says we're dealing with a new house where leaks are common, and that's why you're allowed to do it. Shkach.